Well, tonight we want to look at Exodus 18, 18. The message the Lord gave me several days ago. I thought I was going to preach it here a while back, but the Lord told me not to do so then. And so I just did what He told me to do. I hope and pray that you'll get something out of this tonight, God being our helper. Exodus 18. I've been saying 19, but it's 18. If you have your place, please say amen.
Amen.
All right, very good. You don't have to stand. Just follow along with me there. Let's go up to verse 13 to get a context of what's going on here. It says, "And it came to pass on the morrow, then Moses sat and judged the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and His laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good." Now, our text verse is verse 18. "Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace." The thing that I'm interested in tonight is this, what Jethro told Moses in verse 18. "For this thing is too heavy for thee, thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your precious and holy word. Lord, we ask now that you'll open our hearts and minds to your truth, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask this for your sake. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The message is entitled, "Not Alone." Not alone. You know, Jethro was rather concerned about his son-in-law, Moses. He said, "Here you are, you're sitting here, you're judging all these people by yourself, morning, noon, and night. And you know, this isn't good for you to do by yourself. If you don't get some help, if you don't delegate this authority out there to get people to help you, you're going to waste away. Because you're not able to do this thing by yourself. You cannot do it alone." When I read over that, it spoke to me. You know, honestly, God does not intend for us to do things alone. For example, way back in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, chapter 2, verse 18, God Himself even said, "And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him." Now we say help meet, but what he's saying is the help needs to be meet. It needs to be fit. It needs to be the proper fit for him, for Adam. So Adam noticed when he was naming the animal that each one had a counterpart. All the males had a female. And when he named the dog, he saw the boy dog and the girl dog, one that looked like the other. But he said he looked around and he didn't see nobody like him out there because he was it by himself. So in Genesis 1, the Bible tells us that God made male and female. But in Genesis 2, the Bible says how God made male and female. Of course, God made a mud man out of dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. But when he came to make the woman, he did something else. He put Adam to sleep, and he closed up the side. He opened up the side and pulled out a rib, and he closed up the flesh thereof. And somehow, the Bible don't tell us what. Maybe it was dust, maybe it was dirt, maybe it was honey, maybe it was flower blossoms, I don't know. But whatever it was, the rib was there, and God made a woman. And when Adam woke up, there she was. The wife, the woman, was standing there, and Adam named her woman because she was taken out of man. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And Adam was married to his wife by God in the garden. They both of them were naked. They were not ashamed, the Bible tells us. So God right there says it's not good for man to be alone. Well, over in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, he says in verse 10, Solomon does, well, in verse 9, he says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. You know, according to what I see in the Bible, point number one, man shouldn't be alone. That's not God's design. That's not God's proper plan for us. He made us sociable creatures. So, all of us have friends, even if you're not married at the moment. It doesn't mean you got to go out and find a spouse. It doesn't necessarily mean that. But it means that God does not intend you to be an island to yourself. A lot of people have seem like this idea, well, just leave me alone and I'll exist. God does not mean for you to be by yourself forever. You know, he intends for us to interact with other people. It's amazing to see the ability to talk and to interact and to socialize and to make friends and to be on the dating scene and to fall in love and to see marriage. And it's wondrous things of how to become one in all the ways and mores and the shapes, ins and outs that is. It's truly amazing to see how God made us for relationships. And ultimately, guys, you know, the most important relationship that God ever made was the relationship he made between him and man. And that's the ultimate relationship of all. And there are so many people out there today, they're alone by themselves. They're trying to find that feeling for that God-shaped hole in their life, and they ain't going to feel it unless they put Jesus in there. There's people out there that try to fill it with human relationship. That only goes so far. That only meets so far of their need. There's other people out there, they try to deaden or numb it or get on some buzz or high through drugs and alcohol and everything else. And folks, yeah, you might feel good or that or the other, but again, that doesn't solve the issue. What you need is what God has provided in a full relationship, a fully working relationship with Jesus Christ. You can subsist, you can survive, you can interact without these things in the world. All you need is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. That's what you need, that's what I need. I love my relationships. My relationship with my wife, the friends I have, my family, my church family. But above all is my relationship with Jesus. That's what matters, because God, in the end, at the time you get to your deathbed, all of these human relationships will not matter. What will matter is whether you knew the Lord. And you remember what he said in Matthew 7? He says that they're going to say, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name, cast out devils, and do all these wonderful works in thy name? And Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So it matters that you know the Lord. So man shouldn't be alone. God made man to be a sociable creature. He made him a wife, and then after that, you have the human race starting, and that's amazing. Well, number two, kind of echoing on what we're looking at about a relationship with God, we see over in Ephesians chapter 2, these verses are well known to y'all. He says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast." That right there tells me this, number two, man can't save himself alone. That means we can't do it ourselves. I can't save myself, you can't save yourself alone. In other words, we can be the best person we can be. You know, a lot of people think that. They think, well, you know, I'm gonna do this, I'm going to not do that, I'm going to do my best and maybe keep the Ten Commandments and I'll just do the good. And maybe, and this is the big one, my good will outweigh my bad. That's what they all seem to try to kind of think. It don't matter your good outweigh your bad. Because the problem you and I have, and every member of the human race except for Jesus, because he didn't have one, is an old sin nature. And again, that goes back to Matthew 7. Lord, Lord, have I not done all these wonderful works in thy name? It doesn't matter that you've done all these wonderful works, because he says, ye workers of iniquity. So that tells me right there very plainly, at the nose on your face and mine, that the only thing a lost man or woman can produce is iniquity or sin. So if they go out and they see a man's house burned to the ground, and they says, well, you know what, we're going to write you a check and we're going to buy you a brand new spanking new house. And they put it up the next week and it's there and it's got running water and heat and air and everything that they could ever hope to have. And it's a blessing. I mean, it's a joy. And the news media comes in and they report and they say, wow, this anonymous person just give this family, this man, these children a brand new house, no strings attached. That's great. That's wonderful. But it's a sin in God's eyes if that man is lost. That's what it is. But now from our vantage point, that's a wonderful work. It don't hold no merit with God. As good as that is for that family, as nice and wonderful as it is, in the eyes of the Almighty, thrice holy God, if that man is lost and he did that, even though it was a good thing on our vantage point, in God's point, it was a sin. Point blank. That's all it is. And so, well, God ain't very nice, is he? Yes, he is. But he challenges that for this reason, very plainly in his word. So that nobody can get this false hope that by your works you can get saved. Because if you could get saved by doing good, quote unquote, why in the world did Jesus die for the sins of lost man? Why would he need to? If you could keep the Ten Commandments, I mean, that blows my mind. If you keep the Ten Commandments, why did he have to die? I said that in the women's Sunday school classroom several years ago. I had a former co-worker of mine. He came and he said, I want to talk to you about something. I said, all right, well, come on back. And he said, well, I want to talk about getting saved. And I said, all right. He said, well, I'm already saved. I said, what? I said, you want to talk about getting saved, but you're already saved? I said, how do you figure that? He said, well, I'm keeping the Ten Commandments. I said, what? He said, all I got to do is keep the Ten Commandments, right? I said, no. Well, yeah, it is. I said, no, it's not. I said, have you ever lied? Well, I said, okay. Have you ever called in to our work and said you're sick or something and you can't come to work? Well, yeah. But you were really not. He said, yeah. I said, so that's a lie. You lied right there. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's one of your Ten Commandments. Well, there's other times I haven't lied. I said, it don't matter. I said, you right there, you broke one. I said, so you're going to keep the Ten Commandments. You done broke one. Now you got nine to keep? Really? I said, so how about adultery? Well, I ain't married. I don't count. I said, wrong. I said, Jesus said if you lust after a woman in your heart, you committed adultery with her. I said, why do I need to tell you? I said, you don't got to tell me. But I'm just telling you. I said, I've lusted before. I said, I'm a red-blooded male. Ain't no gay bone in my body. I said, surely, goodness, you have too. If I have, surely you have. Well, I said, so now you're a liar and you're an adulterer? Well, I said, by your own confession, you said this. I said, have you ever stole anything? Well, no. I said, so you mean back in school you didn't steal? Well, yeah, I stole a piece of paper. I didn't need it. And a pencil? Well, I probably did. I said, how about at the bank? You ever take one of their pens? Whoops, you forgot to. You took it in your pocket? I guess. I said, why? Why are you crucifying me? I said, I'm not. I'm just telling you by your own confession. You're a lying, adultering thief right there. And you've already struck out on three strikes, and if you're playing baseball, three strikes and you're out. So I took him over to the other portion of the New Testament and said that if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you're guilty of all. I told him, I said, you can't keep the Ten Commandments and go to heaven. They're put there to show you that you can't keep them, that you need a Savior. Well, how do I get saved? I said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, no. I said, well, that's the only thing I know what to tell you. No, I'm going to go to heaven based on the Ten Commandments. So after you show them the truth, they still get it upstairs that they're going to keep the law or whatever and go to heaven. I got news for them. I hope to God I got it right, but, you know. You can lead them to water, but you can't make them drink. That's what just galls the living daylights out of me, that these people, you can show it to them, black and red and white, and still they come away and say the exact opposite. A smart man. Phew, when it went over his head, and I thought I made it pretty clear. Folks, man can't save himself alone. God did for you and me what we and anybody who loves us can never do for us ourselves. We can't do it ourselves. Well, also in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And then, way back over in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. That's another verse. In verse 24, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. Well, there's a third thing we need to come away with here, guys, about not alone. Number one, we shouldn't be alone. Two, you can't save ourselves alone. And three, man ought not to serve self alone. Think about it. He tells us in Ephesians that we should work to get gain, but not for ourselves alone. You know, there's so many people out there, they're working these jobs, they're doing this stuff to get income for their self only. You know, I mean, they say, oh, look at me, I'm in the money. But they're only doing it for their own enrichment. But here, God tells us, work so that your needs may be provided, but don't keep it for yourself. But if you have someone that is in need, help them out. So don't just do these things to get gain for yourself, but be able to do it to help somebody else down the road. And then he tells us over there that we should serve us. We should serve the Lord. So not serve for our own self. Serve to make ourselves look good. Serve to get our name in the paper. But rather we should serve the Lord, us serving God. So we ought not to serve self only. There's certain things we need to do to survive in life. We understand that. The Bible teaches that. But it also teaches that we need to think about others as well and think about the Lord ultimately. It's like that old saying about what true joy is. Jesus, others, you. But nowadays in selfie America, we got it all backwards. We want to think about self. And just like Daddy was talking about earlier, about that's what the end times is. For men shall be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And that's today, all over, everywhere. But then there's another thing that we're taught here over in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. You know, you hear these people, they talk about, well, you know, all these bunch of hypocrites up there at the old church, you know, I don't have to go up there and be with them. I can just worship the Lord right here in my own house. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Jesus said over in John chapter 4, verse 24, that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Did you notice what he said? They that worship him. And then, you know, over in 1 Timothy chapter 3:15, he talked about how to behave thyself in the house of the Lord, which is the church. So right there, when we come together, he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So right there, guys, this thing here is that, number four, man can't worship alone. He can't worship by himself alone. We are built and designed as people who should be able to worship. The technical term is corporately. When we come together, we should be able to worship the Lord together in the house of God together. Where two or three are gathered together, we should be able to worship God together as the body of Christ. And folks, isn't it a wonderful feeling when you get inside the house of God and the Spirit of God starts moving? I mean, I know our precious folks that watch online, a lot of them, sometimes they're shut in. Sometimes they're working. We got truckers that tune in. We got folks that listen to our broadcast. And I know sometimes that they're not able to be with us. But if you're healthy and you're able to be in the house of God together, folks, there's things that happen here that you can't get sitting on your couch at home or laying in a hospital bed that happen here. There's things that God gives us here, how he meets with us, how he blesses us, that you can't get through the video. I mean, ask Bev right there. Miss Bev has tuned in. I've seen where you've tuned in. And praise God for your faithfulness. But there's things that we felt that sometimes you've not been able to feel, because we come together and the Spirit of God moves. And I've felt that before, and you have too. I know all of us here have. I know Brittany's been sick at times, and she's had to miss a service or two. And you know what? She's tuned in. But yet when the fire and the power of God falls, folks, I'm telling you, God wants us to be together because he wants to bless each and every one of us in the house of God, here together. That's why, you know, sometimes I love everybody here, but sometimes you just want to tell some of these folks, you know, if y'all would be here on Wednesday night, there's a meeting that happened on a Wednesday that you cannot duplicate that spirit. You cannot duplicate what God did on a Wednesday night. Folks, I've seen people saved on a Wednesday night. I've seen people saved on a Sunday night. I've seen God move, and you have too. So why not show up for every service that we can? I mean, if they're going to serve steak every time the doors are open and I can swing it, I want to eat good. I mean, I'm a Baptist. I like to eat good. It shows my stars. But, you know, if the feeding's good and the chef's good and he is good, because the Holy Ghost never serves a bad meal, I want to get as much of my spiritual food that I can. Because I don't know about y'all, but this little old boy needs it. I need it because I know tomorrow and Tuesday I'm going to be hit by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Wednesday I'm going to be hit by the same. And you know what? I got to come in here and get a fill up Wednesday night. And then Thursday and Friday and Saturday, wham, 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 the world, the flesh, and the devil. Bam, bam, bam. And you know what? I got to keep feeding myself through the week too. And my wife too. I need it because if I don't, if I neglect the word of God, I'm going to get weak spiritually. And then who's going to win? The flesh, the flesh, the flesh. Me, myself, and I. God wants me to be a winner, so he wants me to worship him with us together. And that's another reason why it's so wonderful when you're not by yourself and you got that spouse or you got that best friend or you got that brother or sister in Christ or you got that brother or that sister that comes in there. And you meet together, you start talking about the Lord, and you begin to feel those goosebumps and those chill bumps. You know he just come on the scene. And boy, it's a good time where two or three are gathered. He said he'll be there. We've had some good times at the Loveless household, me and Brittany have. Studying about the Lord, and you feel the Lord come up, and you say, well, welcome, Lord, to our humble home. You begin to worship Him. Praise you, the Lord. I never forget one night we were sitting there in my office, and she was pulling up songs on YouTube, and there was some good old bluegrass gospel hymns. And she knew them, and she started singing them. Uh-oh, I let the cat out of the bag there. And then... Sorry, dear. And then I knew a couple of them, and then I started singing, and boy, I tell you what, it got rich in there. And there's one song we were singing, it's Through the Blood. Whew. Oh, heaven came down right there, and tears started flowing. Folks, I'm telling you, you can't copy that. It's real. It's really real. That's why when these people talk about God just a joke and fairy tale and la 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 and all that stuff, He's real. It's real. It's real. Thank God He's real. Ain't nobody take that from me. I don't care who they are. So, anyway, I hope y'all got a little something out of that. I might not have been my flamboyant hellfire brimstone self, but I felt God laid them ideas on my heart to share with you tonight. So, if you're trying to do it by yourself, give up. That's the hardest thing you can do. Just remember, not alone. And by the way, if you ever are by yourself at the house, truly physically by yourself, always remember, you're not really alone. The Lord promised what? I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So don't get the big idea that you're going to do something and get away with it, because there's two eyes that are watching you. They're keeping their eyes on you, and that's the good Lord above. And He sees what you're doing and what you're thinking. And that's what scares the daylights out of me at times. But that's also what blesses my little old heart, too, because even at my worst, what nobody else in this world knows, what goes through my little mind, God does. And God still loves me. And He promised He'd never leave me alone. Thank Him for that, church. All right, well, let's bow our head. Let's close our eyes. If God's dealing with you tonight in any way, shape, or form,